I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
Dustin Ross, my darling. We got the yellow Burberry's on today.
You know what time it is. Pow, pow, pow.
Yeah, it's like, you know how Joe Biden be saying shit about the Ray-Bans?
Yeah.
He turns it to, what's his stupid name? Something Brandon?
Yes.
Okay,
whatever his
name is.
Sasha Fierce name is
right.
For himself.
We
got
to
right?
think about it. Before the end of this episode, we got to come up with a name for this.
All right, I ain't Dustin. I'm busting when I got these glasses on.
Busting
okay?
Real good.
That's what it is.
Listen, I like that.
What's happening,
come
Ebony?
Come on, busting. Everything is good. I saw you and our girl Mandy out in the BK for the weekend.
Now, you know, whenever we get together, we have us a good time, right?
I do know that.
We definitely did. We were at Everyday People in Brooklyn this weekend.
Shout out to that.
Having a wonderful time. I always have such a good time at that party,
yeah.
No matter the city. So we were out in Brooklyn just feeling the love, feeling the vibes outside
yeah,
amongst
was outside.
The people.
Yeah. I like it. I see this you full beard game coming
what's
in.
What's coming on in?
I look, like it.
Gonna make changes, like the song
gonna
said.
Gonna make
okay?
that change today.
Today.
Make
okay?
that change.
Make that change, okay? So...
I love it. It's giving very
thank
sexy.
Thank you. You know, a little distinguished, little finger and thumb on your chin.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? A little bit of that.
Bustin said he doing pride differently.
That's right. Okay. Pride. You better ask somebody. Don't make it be pride. Okay. That's
because we know how he gets down.
Now. How was your weekend, beautiful?
So, thank you, baby. I had a really lovely weekend. I was really nerding out this weekend. Mm-hmm. I was just home doing a lot of reading and content digestion.
Necessary.
And, yeah, I like to do that on the weekends that I'm here local and not traveling so I can have something to give to the people.
Absolutely. And what a beautiful space you have to do it in. You were at home.
I was at home.
In that lovely abode.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that is the reason why, you know, to that point, D, I take the time and resources to make my home super fucking comfortable
mm-hmm.
because when I'm home, I like to I need to enjoy
you
being
on a
home.
Nest.
I think that's something
yeah.
that hopefully we all learned from the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want no fucked up home space.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, so during that, one of the things I listened to was a podcast that I really enjoy, and that is from my friends over at The Surface Level.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I love Tony and
Jordan.
Jordan and Damone.
That's
right?
It.
Yes. Absolutely.
And,
shout out to those guys.
Those guys are fabulous and,
yeah.
and just really interesting content. Three very unique points of view.
Very, yeah.
And it's a good vibe. So
yes.
they had a podcast and the title alone caught my interest, of course. It's entitled Black Excellence is a Scam.
Well, here we go.
Well, here we go.
Yes.
I said, oh, Auntie E's on the case.
Okay.
So
okay.
So I listened to the full show, and that's important, first
mm-hmm.
of all, right? Before we all have our opinions and critiques and two fucking cents,
yeah.
It's important to actually indulge the content. So I listened to the full episode. Really, really strong episode from the guys. Really interesting. It was actually their first live show.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So shout out to
okay.
them.
Okay, congratulations
extremely
to them.
Dope.
Yeah.
yeah, congratulations. So I had some thoughts. So, you know. I mean, I just moseyed on over to the comments section,
mm-hmm.
which is, as you know, that's really not something I do often.
No, it's not.
But I felt compelled. I felt called.
Okay.
So I said, hey, fellas, I said, let Auntie E know when y'all ready to do section two of part two of this Black Excellence is a Scam conversation. And what I can tell everybody is stay tuned.
That's right.
Coming
wonderful.
Soon.
Wonderful.
Coming soon. Yeah, but it was really, and it's going to lead us to... the first topic on our docket today, you know, some numbers that aren't really what we want them to look like. A new survey, Dustin, is showing that less and less Black high school students feel like they will even attend college.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about the subtext of that, what that means and how we got there and where we need to go from here. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because I think even in the bus driver gate of it all and conversations around mediocrity and excellence and exceptionalism, I think it's very interesting that the gentlemen generally, and they had different opinions, which, you know, you should all go listen to the podcast, The Surface Level, Black Excellence is a Scam, wherever you get your podcast, to hear their takes. But one of the things that immediately jumped out at me, Dustin, is, you know, in my book, Bet on Black.
The good news. Okay.
About being Black in America today. I intentionally went through when we were doing the edit, and, you know, that's a process, as you're well aware.
Mm-hmm.
And I removed the phrase Black excellence. But hold on to that because I'm going to flip it in a minute.
Okay.
And the reason I removed the term Black excellence from my book, number one, anything that's like overly trite and said too much is something that just repels me.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to kind of amplify something that has already been amplified to death. But also, The more I thought about the notion of Black excellence, Dustin, the more it seemed redundant to me. Because when I really went from my perspective, from a historical standpoint, Blackness in and of itself, just not all Black people, but just Blackness, is its own version of excellence.
Absolutely.
Right? And so it felt like that's like saying excellent.
Right.
So like
right,
that's
right,
where I landed right. with it. So I told, you know, my editor and writing team, you know, we're not going to use the term Black excellence because it's redundant. Mm-hmm. So scrap it. So you don't see that term in my book. But what you do see are very laborious and intentional efforts, Dustin, to highlight what I just said, which is that Blackness in and of itself is excellent.
Yeah.
And a lot of times this narrative that's now coming out, and I think it's being discussed on Summer House, Martha's Vineyard.
Yes.
Shout out to our friends over there. That Black excellence is a scam. And there's this narrative going towards predominantly, I think, young people that says Black excellence is a scam. And this notion of Black people having to work so hard and be so perfect and so exceptional for the sake of getting anywhere in America is just that it is a scam. Now, I think that's an interesting take on Black excellence or excellence of Black people, as I'll frame it, because to me, I think the scam is mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
I think the narrative that says Black people should be racing towards the middle, racing towards mediocrity, racing towards just showing up as enough, which is some of what I've heard in this dialogue,
mm-hmm.
You're buying into the scam of whiteness.
Yeah.
Because let's talk about whiteness as being, if Blackness is adjacent to excellence anyway, I would submit to you whiteness, not all white people, so calm down, but whiteness, Dustin Ross, is indeed equivalent to mediocrity. And let me prove it to you. Let's go to colonialism,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's go to how we even get structures of cultural whiteness as a center point of global esteem and global dominant positioning.
Yep.
It comes from a place that says whiteness from a Eurocentric colonial lens, Dustin, starts from this premise of, well, we don't want to compete. That's what they're saying globally. We don't want to compete with Indians, so we're going to colonize India. We don't want to compete. We damn sure don't want to compete with these motherfucking Africans, so we're absolutely going to colonize them. We don't want to compete with Asians on any level. So we're going to work to colonize every aspect of Asia we can possibly get our hands on, and so forth and so forth and so forth. And so that is really the basic premise of whiteness as a social construct that lies atop of a social hierarchy across the world. It's white people saying we don't want to have to compete intellectually, physically, emotionally, or in terms of global resources with any other territory in the whole wide world. So how do we prevent having to ascend to excellence and truly compete in a meritocracy based off of our actual intelligence or gifts or physical brute? Well, you scam everybody
mm-hmm.
into believing that whiteness in and of itself is the pinnacle of all things excellent.
The
it's the bar,
mm-hmm.
even though that's the biggest scam in the fucking history of the universe. And then you sell people on a notion of mediocrity as being the vibes.
Let me tell you something, E. This is very simple to me. This is a problem of people not being educated in our history, right?
That part.
If you are a person who has not taken the time, or if your parents haven't taken the time to introduce you to studying the history of Black people in America, then you're more than likely going to make declarations and have opinions that are based on your personal limited experience in your personal network and the
Keyword
world that
unlimited.
You live in, your bubble, and you're not going to be... You're not going to even be receptive to big ideas that are relevant because of the history of us in this country and around the world, period.
That's
you brought
it.
Up colonialism, and people have to even understand what that is in order to get. That's why it's called race theory, okay?
That's
because
it.
they're studied.
There's a lot of work that goes into this, y'all.
And so and these people who are spewing all of this information, and we're going to get into that when we talk about the college statistics later on in today's conversation. But these people who are just spewing these feelings and assuming that they can just go it on their own without any regard to the history of Black people in this world and in this nation, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
And it's going to crash and burn really fast and really bad once they start making decisions and legislating
that part.
Things that are akin to that sort of perspective.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Like,
well, that's the problem. And also it reminds me of another unfunny, stupid fucking joke from Chris Rock, where he talked about, and see, it's really, this stuff ages so poorly, to your point of crashing and burning really badly. It ages really shitty. So Chris Rock, one of his more infamous jokes is this one where he talks about how in his neighborhood in Alpine, New Jersey, which I believe he still lives, that I think he's still very upset too many black folks have come in and crashed the market value of his property. Oh, poor, somebody get Chris Rock a tissue. He talks about in this joke back in the day that his neighborhood is filled with himself, Mary J. Blige, I believe at the time. I want to say, was it Eddie Murphy? It was somebody else very famous and rich. And then he says, and a white dentist. And the argument he's making in the joke is, why can't black people just be dentists? Quote, even that framing, just be
a dentist.
Yeah, it shows you the ignorance, but okay. Why can't black people essentially just be regular, just be average, just be mediocre and live in this elite area of Alpine, New Jersey, versus if you're black and you live in this neighborhood, you've got to be the best comic, which he contends to be. You've got to be the best, you know, hip hop soul, you know, queen of the universe, which Mary J. Blige is.
You see,
I'm not playing with you. I'm not playing with you. Got these yellow glasses
that's
on
right.
today, Dustin. I'm not motherfucking playing with you. I know of Dustin's entire branding, and I don't feel like getting into it with you today.
I got hot.
So, you've got to be, you know, Quincy Jones, whatever.
Right.
And what's so
ass backwards.
Right. I was going to say it's fucking stupid, ass backwards, annoying, and actually dangerous. And what Chris Rock is arguing in that point is he's trying to bring black America down to mediocrity as a pillar of success. And what he's doing, Dustin, is he's running towards white mediocrity in a way that he should be himself, and that's the other thing, that's the hypocrisy. You're telling other black people that's the standard of equality, because that's the big framing. He's like, that's how we'll know we're equal. That's how we know civil rights have worked, is when we could just be as basic, average, and regular as white people and live a first-class American life. You're dumber than you look to say that. Go ahead.
And part of the reason why you're so fucking dumb when you say that is, again, if you study, and if you not even study, if you read, if you just search
basic
for this
reading.
Information, you're not the first person that had this grand idea to you know, look through the rose-colored lens, and this is the key to solving all of our problems, all
Let's
of our
just
racial
be as average as white
people.
That's
it. Nobody's ever thought of that before, and it wasn't the right answer then, and it damn sure
it
ain't
damn
the right
sure.
answer now.
And
it's never the answer.
It's never the answer, and I'm gonna say this, and we'll move on to the actual study. Don't look at your positioning as a black American ever in your life, or a black person in the broader global diaspora, if we zoom out for a second. The minute that you assess who you are and your value and positioning in this world based off of a white glare and a white lens that I've already told and proven to you is always going to be rooted in the minimum, you have fucked yourself up big time. And I'm going to leave it there. So this is not about having to prove we're just as good as white people. White people, generally speaking, whiteness as a construct is average. That's what it is. It's mediocre on its face.
Read your history book.
That's it.
If that's what you're hoping to be.
If that's your aspiration.
Yeah, if that's what you're aspiring to be.
Yeah,
then, hey,
then good luck to you.
And
but
stay the
for
hell
those
away
of
from
us
me.
That would rather root our current positioning, Dustin Ross, in the actuality of who we are as people with African blood coursing through our veins, that is actually excellence. Now let's get to these students. Gonna get to this. So this is a NBC News study, Dustin. They did a survey. It's called The Class of 2023, Who Plans to Go to College? That's its title. And it surveyed about 25,000 young people. And out of them, 74%, and this is all races, said that they intended to go to college. Now, keep in mind, at 74%, that's a 5% drop And 66% said they actually expected to go. And see the difference in verbiage. 74 want to go, but wanting to go and expecting to go are two different things.
Very different things.
Very different things. Yep. So there's a drop in who actually is expecting to go. Let's move on here. Now, to that point, there's a durable gap between aspiration and expectations. Okay, we just pointed that out for you. And then, of course, Dustin, the kids that feel that they have less opportunity happen to correlate, shocker, with the ones who come from less moneyed backgrounds and less resources. Now, the large themes, this is the part we care about here on Holding Court.
Mm-hmm.
Black and Hispanic kids in particular. They said that in order for them to feel more aspirational and have more expectation around going to college, here's what they need, Dustin. They need more end-to-end support through the process of understanding how college even works.
Mm-hmm.
Let's back it up. Everybody wants to just talk about SAT prep and ACT prep and college essays. And yes, we must do that. But before we get to that, these kids are saying something different, Dustin. They're saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Before we get to the application process, and you talking about FAFSA and all this shit,
mm-hmm.
how do I even select which colleges are available to me?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about the difference between, oh, I don't know, a community college
mm-hmm.
and a four-year college.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me, because I'm a big proponent of this. A lot of y'all can walk out of here with the same UNC Chapel Hill, UCLA, UC Michigan, mm-hmm. Ann Arbor degrees that mm-hmm. some of mm-hmm. us have. And you could save a bunch of fucking money mm-hmm. starting those first 2 years
in community college. Yeah, for sure.
And taking those prereqs.
For sure.
Because English one is English one.
No matter where you get it. And there's no shame. Remove that stigma that there's something shameful about starting off in a community college.
First of all, let me tell you something. Not only that, nobody even's going to ask you that shit.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to.
No,
like,
seriously.
Never.
Seriously.
Never.
Yeah.
So those are the things that the kids are saying they need us, and they need somebody to talk to them about understanding the differences. What's a reach school
mm-hmm.
versus a safety school
mm-hmm.
versus a white mediocre school? No, I'm just kidding. That was just jokes. That's just jokes. That's just jokes. you know, but really, like these are the things that the kids really are saying that would make a difference for them. They need the, and this is a quote, they need the system to be demystified.
Think about that word, because shout out to my girl Crystal. Mm-hmm. Words mean things.
They do.
So if they need the system to be demystified.
It's currently operating in a state of mystery. That's what they're saying.
And you don't know what no one has ever told you, right? A lot of young people, that are in that position, college bound, you know, high schoolers.
Sure.
Aren't presented. They just simply are not presented with adults who have had that experience, who can inform them based on what they went through.
Yep.
They're not even presented with people who can give them the access to that information. So sometimes you just don't know unless someone told you.
You wouldn't know. Think about it. Well, who among us, Dustin, would know if someone didn't teach us and tell us? Shout out to Mama Gloria, who was in the studio with us last time we recorded.
My girl, I love you, Mama Gloria.
You know, fucking up my whole situation, actually, because Dustin is such a gentleman, y'all. He didn't want to cuss in front of my mother.
I ain't want to do
it. But Mama G ain't paying no bills over here, Dustin. So we do this show a certain way, okay? Mama G
stopped
paying. I understand. She will get the belt.
I wanted to get the belt.
Let's be clear.
Look, I know enough to know Mama G ain't for no game.
And she don't even spare the buckle.
I had to straighten up and fly right. Oh, no, the buckle flies with the rest. Oof. The rest of it flies towards you.
She don't care if it's Hermes.
Okay,
she don't care if it's Levi's.
At all.
Just on
that corner. Oh, you know I do.
Child.
Please.
Ooh.
But
PTSD.
Yeah, I didn't want to cuss in front of your mama.
I know.
Sorry,
I appreciate that. No. That was very gentlemanly and respectful. But this ain't the fucking show
right,
we do
so
here.
Fuck
so
that today, goddamn.
So that's why Suki, keep her in the hall. Suki, keep her in the hall. We told you it was Suki, mama. Don't be mad at me and Dustin. Suki did that. Okay. So back to the kids. And, you know, some people, a la Charlemagne the God and I think some other folks over there at the Breakfast Club, felt a way when I used the phrase bigotry of low expectations
mm-hmm.
Because they have a very narrow partisan lens in which they see that, which is, you know, their lack of reading. Do you
mm-hmm.
reading? Anyway,
mm-hmm.
What it's referencing is a study, many studies, but one of them I'm citing right now that I was reading over the weekend. It's called This Doesn't Who Believes in Me? The effect of student-teacher demographics matching that of teacher expectations. So when I talk to you about only 66% And that's of all races. It's even lower, of course, for black students that even expect to go to college. A lot of times, Dustin, that expectation is coming from their teacher's expectation.
Right, right.
And so when
right.
you're in a classroom every day and you've got a teacher, and the sad part about this is sometimes this expectation of teacher controls for race, meaning sometimes even other black instructors, other black teachers don't necessarily project that college bound. Mm-hmm. You used the word earlier, college bound,
mm-hmm.
meaning that no matter where you are currently, 9 through 12, how can we as educators
get you
support you and position you and coach you up and tutor you up and,
yes,
and get you together so that you can see yourself as college bound?
Yep.
You know, there's a saying, you got to see it to be it.
Yeah.
So when everybody around you, from your teachers to your parents to your this, that, and the third, are not projecting an expectation of college onto you, and college, like we said, could mean a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
College isn't just Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
College could be the community college. College could be an online university. College could look a lot of different ways. College could also be, and this is something a lot of our high school kids don't know about, you could actually earn some college credits while in high school.
Yeah, for
There's
sure.
There's dual enrollment.
Advanced placement,
That's
all
it.
That.
Advanced placement, taking a couple summer classes, you know. I'll tell you this about expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of crazy butt Mama Gloria, that lady had, her expectations were, whoo, clearly, Yale, Juilliard,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
brochures were coming to the house at 11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was not even a consideration I had time to even play with, because I was going to someone's higher level of learning.
Yeah.
But what I do appreciate about her is, just like I said, Yale, there was also Juilliard.
Yeah.
There was also Carnegie Mellon.
Creative.
There was also,
yeah.
right, what she didn't do was say, you got to go be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go be a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go be an accountant. What she said was, maximize your skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially—
Great advice.
Great advice. You know, and if it was theater, which is what I originally intended to study,
mm-hmm.
if it was dance, if it was whatever the fuck it was, she said, go get that.
Yep.
And that's a really loving expectation to put
Absolutely,
on our children.
Absolutely, Ebony.
Because
Absolutely.
Everybody's not going to be a doctor, dentist, engineer, or lawyer.
And that's fine.
It's so fine.
But you can be excellent at whatever you do.
That's the part.
That's the part that people are missing in that whole dialogue, because it's very easy to frame it that you're saying something that you're not.
Well, because people want to get caught up in a narrative, Dustin, a narrative that makes them comfortable in their race towards mediocrity. And see, when Chris Rock or whoever talks about running towards the middle, running towards something that is easier to obtain, let's be clear about that, something that is less difficult, that requires less work and less discipline and less time and less patience, shocker, breaking news, that feels better. It feels better. I hear you on that. It takes a lot of discipline to stay in school 8 years
mm-hmm.
to complete an MD
mm-hmm.
and then to do 4 more years as a resident
mm-hmm.
and then do 2 more years as a fellow.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it takes if you want to be a surgeon. That's what it takes if you want to be a specialized physician. And guess who needs them? Our black asses.
Which, further to this conversation, I think some of the numbers that we're seeing here is because a lot of these college age, you know what I'm saying, a school age mm-hmm. young black children that they're surveying are children of all races, because this survey
sure.
was everybody.
Yeah.
I think that because of the world that we live in now, or being an entrepreneur and so, of
sure.
some type,
yeah.
it's pushed so hard
yep.
as opposed to formal courses of study.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of young people see that as a fast
out.
Way
yeah.
to get to stabilize themselves financially and see success. And while that happens for some people,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, it's just not the typical, you know,
Well,
path.
let's even break it down further to the minutia, Dustin. You know, nobody loves entrepreneurship and ownership more than this black woman
For
right
sure.
here. Okay? But let me tell you what I know about it, because I come from generations of it, as you can go back and listen to the Holding Court episode, what, 3 episodes
mm-hmm.
ago talking about it. Even as an entrepreneur, the root, the foundation of your ability to be a successful entrepreneur, Dustin, a successful business owner, is skill.
Yeah.
That's it. So just to form an LLC, you know, God bless, I think the good sister Pinky Cole
mm-hmm.
gave out LLCs
mm-hmm.
for a college commencement class. I think she spoke at, I want to say it was Clark Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
Last spring.
Shout out to Pinky.
Big, huge shout out to Pinky
yeah.
Cole and Slutty Vegan.
Absolutely.
And we have one in Harlem and we love it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I did question that, because as wonderful as it is to put people in position to go, like you say, be this trendy entrepreneur, and here's your LLC, go be great.
You have to supplement that with fundamental learning.
What's the skill?
Yeah.
What is the thing you can do
to take with you as an entrepreneur to ensure your success, right?
That's it. And if you're curious and you're hearing Dustin and I discuss this, and you're like, well, I hear what they're saying, but what are they really saying? Let me make it real plain for you.
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself this: what is the thing I can do, or the product that I can create and or sell, that is better than anything else on the market? What's the thing that I can do, whether it is laying brick, whether it is writing poetry, mm-hmm. whether it is designing clothes, whether it is making an oral argument in the court of law,
mm-hmm.
what it doesn't matter what the thing is, okay? But what is the thing that I could do? It might be rolling a set of hair. It might mm-hmm. be sewing in a track.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
might be doing a custom design on someone's nail.
Mm-hmm.
I support all of that.
Hell
and I
yes.
know you do too,
yes.
right? But what is the thing I can do better than almost anybody else in this space that I can do so well, Dustin Ross, mm-hmm. that someone is willing to part with their hard-earned money
yeah.
in order to pay me to do it?
Yep.
That's the test question. And if the answer is, well, I can do a whole lot of different things, or maybe I can even do a few things, but I don't do any of them well enough that's going to entice someone to part with their cash for me to do it, then you need to improve your skill set.
And if you don't understand marketing, if you don't understand how to, if you don't understand those things, you can study them and then go on your entrepreneurial journey
yeah.
with those skills in tow.
Yeah.
So to me, that's, it's nothing wrong with you having, like you just said, Ebony,
yeah.
you want to be the greatest, you know, nail artist
that's
in the
it.
World. You can be.
Yeah.
How can you be excellent at it, especially when you're, you know how much money? Think about the young lady that owned, well, the lady that owns Nails on 7th.
Oh my
that
gosh.
Does Cardi B's nails and all these other artists.
Well, Lisa, Logan, and Harlem.
Nail Sweep. But think about yeah. all of those people.
So let me tell you what's funny about this nail conversation. I don't
yeah.
even think you know this about me. You know that I have a license, a nail license.
I did not know
yeah,
that about you,
I have
you,
a nail
Ebony.
Tech license.
Wow. Okay.
In the state of North Carolina.
Yes.
Now, it's not active, so
yeah,
don't go looking
for it. But you had it.
But
okay?
I had it.
Yeah.
Because that woman over there said, bitch,
yep.
if you're going to live in this house, you're going to have a skill.
Yep.
So as a, what was I? I think I was a high school senior.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to all my extracurriculars and cheerleading and dance and band, I was taking nail classes on the weekend because
yep.
she was a cosmetologist. She owned a salon. She said, how great to have my daughter. Very much like Beyonce's thinking right
yep.
now with Blue
yep.
Ivy.
Yep, yep. Sitting up
it's
there
the
hitting
same
that
thing.
Eight.
5, 6, 7, 8. She
okay.
said, you're going to be like, 1, 2, stripe it down.
Okay,
okay
that's it.
And I went and I got my license and I took the boards and all that. Now, it wasn't my skill set. Let me be, everybody
mm-hmm.
can't lay a nice acrylic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's real. That's fair.
Real.
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way.
Yep.
Everything that look easy ain't easy.
Okay.
So as much as I can argue down a legal brief in a courtroom, as much as I can, you know, deliver a newscast, as much as I can do a lot of things at an extremely high level, better than most all of my peers.
Mm-hmm.
Nails are my ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say this stuff about vocation, don't think this is hyperbole or just, no, she trying to look good. No, I've lived this life.
Right.
Listen, I've laid wallpaper before.
Yeah.
That shit ain't easy.
Yeah.
Getting them seams and shit all the way right.
Matching
and not,
the patterns and all of that.
And let me tell you, wallpaper is not cheap.
At all.
So I'm just, y'all, for real. It's money out there to be made. I was at lunch with Miss Natalie.
Hey, Nat.
Yep. Off this great Mexican restaurant off of 119 and Lenox.
Okay.
And Puerto Rican sister.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
That place
is the
motherfucking
bomb. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes. Yep.
Those enchiladas.
Yep. Yep.
Anyway, I'm sitting there. And it's been a little broad daylight. And a Puerto Rican sister sitting beside me. She was really lovely. Turns
mm-hmm.
out she was a fan of mine from Real Housewives of New York.
Wonderful.
So, smartly, as she's departing, she says, Miss Ebony, you know, I'm actually retired NYPD. And here's my card. And if you ever need anything, I do a little security on the side. Let me know. I said, bitch, say less.
Thank you for putting that in my lap, guy.
Well, yeah, but also, and I told her, just because this is how I was raised, I said, Miss Detective Lady, you know you're sitting on a gold mine.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because you and your fellow retired comrades, and even many, we all know anybody in law enforcement is always looking for some side work. Ain't they always? Hey, Justin, you laughing because it's the truth. They are always looking for some shit to do on the side.
Always. Oh,
and they'll do just about anything. Okay? I know some officers with some OnlyFans, and I'm not playing.
Okay.
Listen. So I said, Miss Detective, if you don't get your fellow retired comrades and these other officers of that are looking for a little side income, mm-hmm. and if you don't position yourself as the owner operator of a private, think of it as Uber for security.
Hell yeah.
For myself, I know you would take advantage of this. Mandy, just people we know in our orbit. Claudia Jordan going to the Breakfast Club by herself.
Shout out to Claudia.
Claudia, who's killing it up on the Breakfast Club guest hosting.
That's right.
And we could just pay a few hundred dollars an hour. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
When my mother was in town and people were just walking up to me, and God bless, I love interacting with fans, but that's my mama.
And so there's
a protective level.
Yeah.
And I could have you, Miss Detective mm-hmm. Lady, and you're trained in firearms mm-hmm, already, mm-hmm. and you're trained in the... Ma'am, that's a gold mine. And she took that to heart.
Good for her, and God bless you for imparting that to her.
Absolutely.
That's the importance of making those sort of connections and being, approachable and shit like that.
Yeah.
She needed to talk to you, and you needed to talk to her. Yeah.
Because that is a business structure. See, again, but we're basing it in what? Not just, I want to be a business owner. She has a skill set. Ma'am, you are trained in law enforcement. You have 25 plus years on NYPD. You are trained in firearm. You are certified. You mm-hmm. have a right to carry, which is not easy in New York City. So you and fellow officers, y'all have there is a gap in the marketplace.
Yeah.
So I'm not at a place where I can just pay an extra $200,000 a year plus benefits to have my own private security.
Full time.
Yeah. You hear what I say? Yeah.
Yet. Keyword heavy on the yet.
Heavy on the YET. Okay.
You got me rolling today.
But until that time comes, how great would an option like this be for
us? A concierge, a la carte, security service. That would be great. So smart.
Yeah. So we're going to leave it there with the kids. But, just y'all, what I want to take from this conversation is I don't like to see a gap between I want to go and I expect to go.
Mm-hmm.
I want to close that gap. I want to have it so that if you are a black child in America, and we have anything to do with it, and you want to go to school,
Your ass can go. Yeah.
And I like to talk about things. That's what we do. But you better believe, stay tuned, because I'm about to do something about this.
I love that, Ebony.
I'm about to do something. Yep. I got a plan and an idea, and I'm about to execute.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it in your eyes. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so now on to something a little less empowering. Oh, Jesus. Okay, these young black celebrities are out here driving drunk and reckless.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, yeah. So the first thing that hit, of course, was Danny Lee. And this was over the Memorial Day
weekend.
First
thing that what?
Literally hit. I didn't even do that on purpose. But, sometimes we just talk in parody. So Danny Lee literally hit and run. You're right. It just came right on out. Just flowed. And then we couldn't even get to that without Mr. Combs.
Oh, yeah.
Justin Dior Combs being arrested in L.A. So let's start with Danny Lee, because that's what happened sequentially. Now, I want to frame this in this way, Dustin. Now, fortunately, it's summertime. So mm-hmm. that's a good thing. Everybody wants to be what?
Outside.
But I will tell you, generally speaking, and the statistics and data back this up, there is a pretty big spike
mm-hmm.
in DUI, DWI mm-hmm. during the summertime because mm-hmm. people are
outside. Yeah.
Now, one could easily argue, but so? We live in the age of Uber. We live in the age of Lyft. We live in the age of, many of us live in cities where there's public transportation options, even if you don't. If you want to drink, you don't have to drive.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is people do it.
Yeah.
Now, it's really, really dangerous. People die. Children die. And it's something that our society is really not in a position to absorb any longer because of the stakes and the consequences. But I want to talk about And a lot of people are really critical, Dustin, when it's rich people that are doing this.
Yeah.
Because the attitude is like, you can have that $200,000 a year plus benefits driver on retainer. Mm-hmm. Why are you even driving? Why do you think, and I know Chris Brown has done this, but why do you think these wealthy people are driving drunk when they could have drivers?
Because I think a lot of people, whether they, like Justin Combs, for instance, mm-hmm. right? He absolutely has access to resources that can provide that sort of safety net for him.
Literally.
But he doesn't, I mean, his family is one generation into wealth mm-hmm. of that magnitude.
That's true.
He's probably still connected to a lot of people and experiences that, and he's living his life. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So although he should have been thinking 10 steps ahead
right.
and had those measures in place, he had a drink and went out and drove just like millions of people do. Unfortunately, it's a sad truth, but it's the truth.
It is the truth.
So,
it's just the truth.
I keep seeing people, you know, I keep seeing this conversation continue and echo, you know, as this story is discussed about him having access to those resources. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like it's such a moot point, right? Because, mm-hmm. yeah, he does, but he didn't have it. He got caught up in this situation. It is what it is. Like,
and I think, you know, to the point of Uber and Lyft, now we can really argue that all of us have it.
That's
your point. Right. I agree with you. Like, I remember back in the day when these celebs would do this, I'm talking about 15, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. I was really judgy about it.
Yeah. That's fair. Like, that's honest.
Yeah, it's just honest. I was like, you know, man, why are you driving your Lamborghini?
If it was me, I would have a driver. Yeah.
The reality is now, we all have drivers, mm-hmm. quote unquote, mm-hmm. right? It's called an $8 Uber
yep.
or $25 app set.
Yeah.
Right. Have they started back with the Uber pool yet?
I don't know.
I ain't going to hold you because before when they had it, your bitch been in an Uber pool before. But anyway.
I got one on accident. I almost lost
my
mind.
That car
put up with somebody in the backseat. I said, what in the hell? I ain't getting it back. And then I realized I had pushed the wrong thing. It was me. It wasn't even
right. Now. You know what? It's not you. It's me.
So who in the hell is in the backseat?
Right. No, so, the worst is when they'll stop and get gas on you. Oh. So everybody now has access to their own driver of
yes.
sorts. And yet, to Dustin's point, people are still drinking and driving. They
yeah.
just are. So let me talk about some of the logistics y'all want to know about DUI. So in addition to killing people, I promise y'all don't want no DUI. And let me tell you why. Just purely from a fiscal
mm-hmm.
landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all know I used to, when I practiced law, I was a criminal defense lawyer. And there was probably about a year of practice, Dustin, where I almost exclusively handled DUIs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, baby. Okay, first of all, back then, so we're talking about 2008 and 2009, a DUI minimum, that's $10,000. That's
for sure. Right?
Minimum. That's then. Today, you get a DUI, especially, and that was in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
You get a New York DUI. That's going to end up ultimately costing you about $20,000. And let me break it down for you where that money is going.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, your lawyer. Most lawyers are not touching anything for less than $5,000 to $10,000. And that's just basic. And these are misdemeanors, okay? So we're not even going to get to Danny Lee's DUI because that's not a regular DUI.
Oh, no.
No, baby.
Oh, no.
No, baby.
She was fucking tripping.
Yeah, she's actually really tripping for real. But a regular, a more what looks like Justin Combs DUI, that's
yeah.
about, your lawyer's going to be about 10 racks. Now, you've also, let's just say, okay, first of all, the court's going to assess you,
mm-hmm.
okay? So let's say you're found guilty, which most of the time you are, which I'll tell you why in a minute. The court's going to say you have to pay just a fine. And those fines are thousands of dollars because the state legislatures find DUIs to be particularly horrendous crimes to commit
mm-hmm.
because of the consequences. Because the law sees a person that's guilty of DUI, they see it as a moral failing.
Right.
I'm going to be honest with you. They see it as a moral failing. They don't see it just like a typical assault or battery. They see it as an intentional moral failing that you chose to get intoxicated on some level and then you chose to go out and put yourself behind what could be a deadly weapon, which is a vehicle,
mm-hmm.
and you risk someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to punish you for that. There's a real punitive aspect to DUI.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens there. Then, you know, let's say you still need to drive because you have to get to work after you're convicted, so you have to have probably what's called an interlock
mm-hmm.
on your car. That thing that we all saw in, what's the movie, 40-year version, where you
yeah.
blow into?
Mm-hmm.
That used to be $5,000. I don't know how much they are today. Probably more. You know, so
absolutely.
So the bill is racketing up. Is the point? Now, Let's talk about how you, the reason I said, Dustin, that most of the time if you are charged with DUI, you're going to get convicted. Now, not always, but a lot of times you are, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, the statutes have made the acquisition of evidence around the guilt of a DUI really, really easy. In most states, you have to submit to one of the following in order for them to even arrest you for DUI or to prove your guilt in court. Field sobriety test, that's the easiest thing to actually fight in court.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you what's not easy to fight in court. That damn blow, that breathalyzer test, that's a very difficult thing to beat in court because the only real legal arguments around that are going to be that you want to argue against the calibration of the breathalyzer itself. You want to question the mechanics of the machine. I have seen it work before. It is a very, very, very rare feat.
Yeah.
Okay. Then then the last one is also really tough, the blood test. In most states now, if you refuse to do the breathalyzer or you refuse the field sobriety test, oftentimes they will literally draw your blood in the field.
Yeah.
And that's another very difficult piece of evidence to argue against in court. All you've really got is, well, Your Honor, the person that drew the blood, or they'll take you down, rather, they'll arrest you if you refuse the breathalyzer or the field sobriety. They will lock you up, they will take you into custody, and then that's when they will draw the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then you could try to argue, well, Your Honor, the person that drew the blood is not a skilled phlebotomist,
mm-hmm.
They mixed my blood up with someone else's. You know, you could try to argue those things. And again, sometimes they work. I'm not saying they never work. Sometimes they work.
But the probability of them working.
They don't work a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So the court looks at that as some pretty mighty evidence. Now, here's the other way you can, I've seen a DUI avoid conviction. And this is the easiest way to avoid conviction, Dustin. Before we get to the proffered evidence around the intoxication. So before we get to field sobriety, blood test, or breathalyzer, you want to challenge the stop. So before they can get to all of those tests and decide that you are glazy-eyed and alcohol on your breath, those are the boilerplate things you'll see
right.
in a police report around mm-hmm. a DUI stop. Before you can get to any of that, you know what you got to do? You have to have a legitimate legal reason to stop that vehicle. Could be speeding. Could be
a light out or anything.
Yeah, could be a busted tail light in some situations. In the case of Justin Combs, which we'll get to, the allegation is that he ran a red light.
Mm-hmm.
Now, absent something like that, if you can prove that there was no legitimate means to stop this car, then you could beat that DUI because then all that evidence, whether it's you could blow .25. It's going to be tossed out the window.
Because they shouldn't have stopped you in the first place.
They shouldn't have stopped you. It was a faulty stop.
Yeah.
Fruit of the poisonous tree. Any mm-hmm. evidence collected after a illegal stop or seizure is moot.
Thrown out the window.
Okay, so now that I've talked y'all through the possible legal arguments that can acquit a DUI, let's talk about why they're probably not going to be applicable to these two.
Okay. Okay. Because baby Danny Lee,
very cute, very attractive young lady in that mm-hmm. picture, but it's not going to help her.
Mm-mm.
This woman was arrested over Memorial Day weekend for 3 felony charges. So already that's how we know it's not a normal DUI. Most DUIs, Dustin, are misdemeanors. So she's driving under the influence, allegedly, leaving the scene, this is the worst one, of a crash with serious bodily injury and DUI damage to property. The allegation is the officer says she did blow in the breathalyzer and she blew a .145. They normally make you blow twice. And then she blew a .148.
Damn.
And they always take the higher of the two normally. That's about twice the legal limit, roughly, because most states the legal limit is .08.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So she's skirting around twice the legal limit. Also in the car, Dustin, I mean, real rookie mistake. An open bottle of Don Julio 1942.
Okay, my
so
favorite.
You want to ball out. I know. You want to ball out. Well,
ball out. Although you got me on that Dragones now.
That's good,
how
right?
How about it? Yes.
That's good. You ain't drink at all, did you?
No, I didn't drink that bottle at all. I'm saving it for us. Oh, okay. I told you. But I have
You better
been,
be saving
you
all
know,
your love for me.
Yeah, you know, all I love it, okay? For
you. Okay. You. Okay. okay.
Woo.
Danny Lee, this is really bad, y'all. So, according to TMZ, she was seen by several witnesses, not one, but several, driving at a very high speed. That's another, see, I said speeding. That was enough of a reason to stop her. By Miami Beach. But then, speeding was not the worst of this woman's crimes, mm-hmm. allegedly. She was said to have hit someone, an actual pedestrian, driving a motorized scooter, and then dragged the scooter for a block. This is the allegation by eyewitness testimony. So people are going to get on a witness stand if she chooses to take this to trial and testify to this. Then the let's talk about the injuries to the person on the scooter, Dustin. The doctors are saying that this individual, this is a man, he suffered severe kidney laceration and spinal fracture.
God damn.
That is some serious injury.
She wore him out.
Literally. She drew, like, this is the definition of a
dragging. Dragged.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is very, 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 very serious for Danny Lee. You know, absent, like I said, some legal miracle of sorts for her, her best bet is just to go ahead and take this one on the chin. What does that look like? You want to go ahead and immediately submit her, if I'm her lawyer, to a drug and alcohol assessment. That's where you go into a specialized facility and they do that. They assess you for drug and alcohol abuse. If you indeed have an issue, you immediately have to start treatment. Like, this is pre-trial stuff. So go ahead and do that. You want to go ahead and, I mean, this is just bad. Try to think of anything else to do, child. I don't know, bitch. Do some community service. Go church. You know, like, for real. You know, because you want to be, you want to start volunteering with a drunk driving mom survival group. I mean, you need to do everything you can to say, to throw yourself on the mercy of the court. It say, Your Honor, clearly I, and if you're driving around with an open bottle of Don Julio, you might have an issue.
You do have an issue. In Miami Beach, all them fucking police in Miami Beach. Think about when you've been in Miami Beach. Yeah. You see police
everywhere.
Single corner.
Yeah.
And there's so much pedestrian traffic in Miami Beach. People are walking from one place to the next.
It's more pedestrians
than vehicles.
Yeah.
So for her to drag him and wear him out like that for a whole, it's not funny. I'm not laughing at what happened.
No, of course it's not funny, but I know you're not. It's the scene, just picturing
the scene
it.
And the fact that it's so just exaggerated in nature.
Yeah,
and
this
just,
is like a law school hypothet. This is something that you would read on a test, not something that would happen in real life.
She got a song called Easy, and one of the lines, she's like, whipping down a 305 high. Highway. Mm. And I'm like, look at our imitating life. I mean, God damn.
Yeah, she's in a bad spot.
It must have been dual exhaust on the car too. Cause to hook on to the moped like that
and drag him for a block.
Cause some must have had a tire and a handlebar. I wonder how the moped was connected to her vehicle.
And then you ran. Let's say that part.
Literally.
You literally ran, sis. You did not stay there. You did not. Oh, my God. You should have been the one to call 911. This is just awful. Awful. This is like one of the worst case DUIs I've actually ever seen from a fact pattern standpoint. So then we couldn't even get to the studio to talk about that.
Right.
When in the middle of the night, here comes Justin Combs. He, of course, has been arrested in Los Angeles. Near Beverly Hills area after police saw someone running a red light. They say that the police approached the car and found Justin Combs as the driver. After the police searched the vehicle, law enforcement ruled that there was enough probable cause to arrest Justin Combs. Now, I don't know what they found in the vehicle that has not been released as of this recording.
Mm-hmm.
His bond was set for $5,000. No further details have been released. This looks like a more typical DUI.
Yeah, something that we can
wrap
manage and get
our heads around. Right, like, okay.
Right.
God damn, Danny Lee, you doing the most, bitch.
What kind of shit? You coming here clearing the street like that
and
dragging motherfuckers?
Yeah. And then you ran, didn't even stop. At least, you know, we could presume Justin Combs was flagged by the cops. He stopped the vehicle. That's the first good thing he did.
Yeah, stopped the vehicle. Looks like he cooperated enough.
Yes, cooperated enough, okay. But they did find some kind of probable cause. Now, what we don't know here yet, Dustin, is what evidence they obtained. You know, so did he blow? We don't know. What he blew? We don't know. Did they take blood? We don't know. Did he do a field sobriety test? We don't know. But we could presume one of those three methods of evidence were collected, hence them arresting him for DUI. Now, I've also seen where none of that is done. This was before when the laws didn't require blood to be drawn. They could still arrest you if they just felt like they just wanted to assess that you were probably drunk, mm-hmm. and then you fight it in court. Mm-hmm. But those were the old days. Mm-hmm. So
it's different now.
It's different now.
You know, this particular case, you know, it just seems like a circumstantial occurrence. Like, this mm-hmm. is some shit that just happened to him. I don't think he has a problem that we know of based on his track record sure. with alcohol. He's 29. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, shit happens. Hopefully this is something that they can mm-hmm. solve quickly and yeah. quietly.
And hopefully this is his first DUI. That makes a big difference. Huge. I just want to make a point about that. If it's your first one, typically the courts
will have some sort of mercy on you, right?
Yeah, like, you know, like you said, no court likes a DUI, obviously. No judge likes a DUI. But as the reality is many, 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 many of these fucking judges on the bench have been there before. They do. And then when we have to apply, even after you take and pass the bar exam, you still have to pass something called what's called a moral character and fitness test. Mm-hmm. And many, many judges y'all see right now of all races mm-hmm. Have had to have that really shitty conversation with the board mm-hmm. of the bar and plead their case around how they have learned their lesson around their DUI.
I think we need that in place for teachers.
Yeah.
I think teacher salary needs to be increased and federally regulated sure. to a much higher level.
Absolutely.
And they need to be subjected to that. Held to those, and police officers do too.
Absolutely.
Both of those yeah. teachers and police officers.
Because they're the touch points of civic society.
That's
they really
it.
Are.
It needs to be yeah. a higher moral pay and rate, fitness. And you need a moral and character fitness assessment.
Right.
That is thorough.
That is and continual.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like every 5 years, you
That's
need to
right.
be reassessed.
Really, too.
Yeah.
Because niggas be tripping.
All the time.
So really, like every 2 years, they need to be subjected to that and reassessed.
That would be a huge game changer.
And if I was a politician, that would be
something
literally.
You would run on.
Oh my God! Yes, police
but that's
and teachers.
That's gonna be the other one man show.
Yeah.
After we get the preacher,
what
we get
are
the politician.
My? That's right. The politician. God damn it.
Vote for Dustin Ross.
Vote for Dustin. A vote for Dustin is a vote for Trustin.
Okay. Yes.
I'm ready. Let's run. God damn it.
Listen, how far are we going to go? Let's
okay.
get to the top.
The cussing
baby.
President. State
well,
of the Union.
That's what we've always needed.
You motherfuckers
but
got
actually,
to get
had,
it together.
You know who was a cussing ass president, but he said too many N words? Lyndon B. Johnson.
Lyndon B. Johnson.
Now, that was a crazy ass
yes.
president.
Well, we need Dustin F. Ross.
Yeah, we do. I like that.
My administration, and you know what? I'm going to say this and then I'm going to let it go. Mm-hmm. I would have been a hell of a White House press secretary because the way mm-hmm. that I would have run that podium, you would know me. I would be in the history books.
I don't even know why you sang it past tense.
Right. I can't wait to get up there. Right. I can't wait to get up there with my shit on because you know I would be sharp
right.
up there. Sitting.
Oh, of course.
Now, we were just here yesterday. Do you honestly think we're playing those games again today? You know exactly why
right,
we're here. You know exactly
right,
what we're doing to solve this.
Right.
And you only asking me that
right.
because I would be in there letting them have it every
ripping
single.
Ripping their asses.
Oh, with facts and action.
You have the reporters, because you know I know a lot of these people. They be like, damn, I don't even want to go.
I don't
want to
go. That's right.
You
be shame.
Right.
And I'd be up there on the podium. Come on in
right.
the room.
Yeah, we started.
I've been waiting on your ass since last
y'all
week.
Late.
Because I heard what you said over there on Fox News.
Right, right.
Come
right.
on in here.
Bring your ass on in here.
That's right. But
Peter,
no.
Ducey.
Right. That's right. Okay.
All right, y'all, we got one more story for you. Just one more again.
Uh-huh.
But this is a good one. We're going to leave out on a feel good.
Okay. I love that.
This is a white lawyer who we all saw go viral, dumbass, for snatching this black woman's wig off of her head. This was a hot ass mess. Singer and TikToker, Lizzie Ashley, she mm-hmm. posted a video on TikTok and she's showing where she's minding her business,
mm-hmm.
going about the streets of New York City when this stupid ass lawyer, his name is Anthony Orlick. Okay, he snatches the wig off of her head for no damn reason and just keeps on walking. What's very sad is in the video, you see this young woman, very young woman, young black woman, woman of color. She's asking him, you know, why'd you take that off my wig head? Why'd you take that off my head? Da, da, da. He's giving this shitty smirk. This grin, this shit eating grin, Dustin. And it's really, really terrible. And even his two friends were like, yo, bruh, like, all right, you pulled a dick move. Just apologize. Let's keep going about our night. He won't do it. This went viral. I know I saw it on Brian Jones's mm-hmm. social. Mm-hmm. Shout out to B. Jones.
Shout out to Brian Jones.
And what I love about B. Jones is he's like corporate messy.
Mm-hmm.
So he literally was tagging the firm and mm-hmm. like, yeah, you know, write your congressman, write your senator.
Yeah.
We're going to get this guy fired.
That.
And it was great. And many people took to that vibe. And after over almost a million views now, commenters were saying that she needs to file charges. She needs to get a lawyer. She has done that.
TMZ
is reporting that Ms. Ashley did indeed file a police report with NYPD, which is excellent. And this is from TMZ. We are told that the crime alleged is a misdemeanor assault. We are told that Ashley is claiming to have suffered minor injuries to her neck. Our sources tell, my neck and my back. Okay. Mm-hmm. Minor sources tell us that Ashley has declined medical attention when she filed the report, although she did claim on social media that she has seen a doctor and that her report triggered an investigation. Clap, clap, clap. Good for Miss Ashley.
Get them ducks in a row, girl.
We like to see
Yes.
This. Now, my favorite part of this story. Everybody that did what Brian Jones told us to do when we found this white man's law firm, he was at Leader, Burcon, Cullo, and Silverstein.
Mm-hmm.
And he is no longer there, baby. Mm-hmm. Let's be very clear.
Good.
The immediately, his employee profile was taken off of the website of the law firm. And the firm said, not on our watch, baby. We ain't going down with the trash. The firm said this. We have been made aware of a video of a non-work-related incident involving one of our associates circulating on social media. We take seriously any inappropriate behavior by any employee, whether inside or outside the workplace. This associate is no longer with the firm.
Good.
Period. And good luck getting hired at another one of these, you know, white shoe, you know, probably 180 per year, starting off 180 per year firms.
No, you're going to be down there with the dread, with the ambulance chasing MAGA people that will hire you after some shit like this, because he will get hired again.
But
it
like
will
that.
Not. Be will, at a,
he will not be at the New York City Bar Association whining and dining and all those mixers anymore. Trust
and I
believe.
Really hope they take this as far as they can go. I would like to see him disbarred. I was going to ask you about that. What's the probability of getting someone disbarred over an incident like this? Is that even something that can happen? Like, how can people ensure that he's not in a position to practice law again?
Right. What does the discipline look like?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great one. So disbarred just for this, no, but things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage everybody listening to this, go ahead and call the local bar association in New York City and New York State, because they're both at play, and say that you want this man sanctioned.
Sanctioned.
That's how it starts.
Okay, sanctioned.
He can be sanctioned. And so, and if you get enough sanctions, you can be disbarred.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, like, the paper trail matters.
Yeah.
That's why doing something now matters. The fact that, first of all, the fact that he's been fired from this firm, I wouldn't be surprised if they apply for their own sanctions against him, because they're not like happy to do this. They've made an investment in this man as an associate, and now you have cost them their investment.
And now we have to make an investment in separating ourselves from you.
Yes.
Because what credible law firm wants that sort of shit attached to it?
Hell to the no. So you've already cost them by way of reputation, by way of investment. So they're not happy with you. But now the public, what can they do? We can call, write, email, text, tweet the bar associations for both New York City and New York State and have this man sanctioned.
I wanted to take a wooden Louisville Slugger baseball bat.
I remember those.
And beat his motherfucking ass when I saw that video. Mm-hmm. And his smug, as we discussed, that look, that smiling, and that arrogant shrugging off of what he did to her, ripping her fucking wig off her head. She can't physically beat him up. Mm-hmm. He's much stronger than her. Mm-hmm. I don't like that bullying shit, and I literally, even talking about it now, I get mad like I know her.
Right.
That really offended me.
Because you do know her in the sense that we all know black women who show up in the city, especially a city like New York, and we're very vulnerable, Dustin. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been, how many times have we left taping this very show? Mm-hmm. We waiting for our various cars or walking to the train or whatever we're going to do, and somebody will just roll up on me.
Mm-hmm.
And you immediately have to step, well, you don't have to do a damn thing but stay black and die. You choose to jump into a protective posture that says, what are we doing? Who are you?
And it's not because somebody's trying to be tough and all that shit. That's just, it's instinctual.
No, it's just your instinctual. Yeah, that's your instinctual masculine nature.
I don't
that
like.
Says, I don't. And sometimes they've been very pleasant fans. And sometimes they just want a picture. And sometimes it's all love. But the reality
is, we're going to get to the bottom of it.
You don't know. All you know is your black woman friend is vulnerable. And who's going to protect her?
That's it. And watching somebody, I've never been the type, when I was little and I would see people, like, I remember the first time I saw somebody with a sign saying they would work for food. Mm-hmm. I was fucked up for days as a little kid behind that. Yeah. My mother had to literally take me back up to the corner where the person was, hoping they would be there, because mm-hmm. I was hysterical. You know what I'm saying? And that like, shit stayed with me at this point in time in my life. Yeah. I do not like seeing vulnerable people bullied or taken advantage of in that way, especially not at the hands of a Screech Powers looking motherfucker like him. You know what I'm saying? When I tell you,
a real piece of shit,
I would have introduced him to that curb that day.
But here's what I will say. I'm so glad you didn't, and that you weren't there, and nobody like you who would have
like that shit
instinctually done that deed, because all that would have done,
made it worse.
Well, no, it's not. First of all, it would have been it would have been understood.
Yeah,
that's number one. So let's be clear. But what it would have done, though, is done what white men and white people and white women have done for generations, is start some shit and then play the victim.
Bait you into
a situation where you whoop their ass, you give them exactly what they asked for, but now they're the victim. So thankfully, this time, the state handled it. This time, the private sector actually handled it. Let me restate that. This time, the private sector, by way of this law firm, said, not on our watch. We're not even going to wait for the smoke. And they preemptively fired this man, as they should have. Now, the next step to your question, Dustin, what does the discipline look like in the amongst lawyers? His ass needs to be sanctioned.
Sanction the fuck out
of him. And he needs to be arrested, which he very well might be, because she filed. That's an assault. That is
for
at least,
sure.
That is a hard. I saw somebody debating this on Shade Room or something. Of course it's an assault. It's a harmful or offensive touching of another.
That's assault by definition.
By definition.
I don't know why people are having so much trouble with words meaning things.
They're having a real tough time.
I said what I said.
Yeah.
You said what you said. You know what I mean?
That's it. Period.
Then you meant what you said by literal definition of those words.
Yeah. It was an uninvited, harmful, offensive touching of another. It is by definition assault. We have it on video to see. So what are we talking about?
I'm getting mad now.
Don't get mad, baby.
I don't like that shit. And hearing her reaction and anger in her voice, you could tell that she felt helpless.
She was.
And the look on his face.
Let me tell you what that look on his face told me. It told me.
I ain't worried about nothing going to happen to me for fucking this. I don't care about her.
Number one, I don't care about her because she's not even human to me. Like, let's just go all the way there. Number one, she's not even human to me. She's a subspecies, because that's what that is. She's a subspecies, and I get to assert my white masculine dominance over her in this way, and not a damn thing is going to be done about it.
Yeah.
That's what that look said. And thankfully, in this case, and it's unfortunate that it doesn't happen in every case, but in this case, it's a little bit at least of a new day, Dustin. And now, you know, when you want to be white and disrespect a black woman on camera, no less, and you don't want to own it and you don't want to apologize for it, somebody somewhere says, not on our watch.
Good.
Thank God.
I may not be able to push you out into that 10th Avenue traffic like I want to. And it was nighttime, too. I gave him a quick mother, let him fight it out with that traffic.
And they're like, oh, my God.
Yep, as I hear them tires rolling, bump, bump, bumping over you. I'd have been so happy.
Was that B2K?
Yep, bump. I'm telling you, that's what he deserves, a stoning, some shit. He humiliated her.
Well, I would say this. The end of his consequence has not been seen.
Thank God.
Yeah. No. He needs to be sanctioned, and like you said, no respectful, reputable law firm will touch him.
Yep.
Thank God. All right, y'all, that's it for this week. We're going to, it was a spicy one. You know,
yes,
when Dustin got them yellow glasses. Bustin' Dustin, y'all. Check us out next week. Courtney will be back in session. In the meantime, y'all stay safe, keep the faith, and what you want the people to do, D?
Whoop somebody ass if you see them pulling somebody wig off their head. And also, read your terms and conditions. That's
it could
what
be a term and condition.
It sure is one of mine. Okay? It's one of my terms and conditions. Okay.
Holden Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jay Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. consultant Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to operations lead Sarah Yu, business development lead Sheffy Ellen Swag, and marketing lead Samira Still.